Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Hey, Aaron, the third member of our tripod has joined us on Facebook Live. Welcome, Skylar Teo from Dallas, Texas. Skylar!
The prodigal son has returned.
So we had to work on some contractual things, get my money right, make sure I was getting paid for this, but I'm back, boys, and getting financially taken care of to a degree that I find acceptable. Woo!
You pulled a Brad Garrett, like on Everybody Loves Raymond, is what you did.
Yeah, I said $1 million per ep, and they said, we don't got the Garrett money. So
he's getting 34% of the Patreon money.
That's right. So. I wanted that extra percent. I said, I'm the Ray Romano of this show. And then I said, Mom!
Did you ever think we would see Ray Romano pull off a performance like he does in The Big Sick, by the way? I never expected that.
Oh, I forgot he was in The Big Sick. Man, Romano.
He's incredible. He's arguably the best part of The Big Sick.
Oh, arguably. Yeah. It's not a good argument, but it's arguable. Yeah, sure.
Technically everything's arguable. Like Lonzo Ball is a really good rookie in the NBA, right. Would be an arguable point.
If you want to be the person who says
that's
that
actually a
the white male is the only good part about a movie that features a lot of characters of different backgrounds, races, and genders, then sure, say that.
All right. Well, we are here to talk Thor Ragnarok. We got a couple things to go over beforehand. That we have movie news. I do want to talk about the iPhone 10. X? Skylar, how do I say it?
It's iPhone X.
Okay. iPhone X, like anyone that's age 50 or older will call it.
Wait, question. So like when you talk about the president of China, do you say President 11? No, you say the X and then you say the I.
Mm. How do you pronounce? Can you please say the last name? What's the last name of the president of China?
She told me it's XI.
Oh my God.
She told me.
Oh, good.
Ni hao ma to our listeners in China. Ni hao ma.
That includes the LiAngelo Ball right now, who...
this one's for our jailbirds in Beijing. Stay strong, boys.
Now, Aaron is a staunch defender of LeVar Ball and the way he's raised his kids.
The entire Ball family. Yeah.
Aaron, do you think LiAngelo stole some sunglasses from Louis Vuitton?
No, he wouldn't. Big Baller Brand has their own custom sunglasses, and he doesn't need to steal any from China.
Yeah. No, and yeah $700 sunglasses from Big Baller Brand. Imagine, by the way, being rich and stealing in China.
Winona Ryder.
Yeah. Didn't she see Stranger Things Season 2? Her whole performance was inspired by the fact that she just wanted to be at 7-Eleven stealing some Doritos the whole time.
Some people would say she was stealing a paycheck.
Some people.
Guys, Winona, I thought Winona was like one of the few elements that improved in season 2 of Stranger Things over season 1.
Much worse.
Sorry,
that's not Winona Renaissance. She's great. Yeah. Buy her movies.
Yeah. Let's talk NBA really quickly because our three teams are all supposed to be among
amazingly
the worst in the
NBA. Good.
All three of our teams have a point guard that we just drafted that's supposed to change our franchise. That is Dennis Smith Jr. out of Dallas, Lonzo Ball in L.A., and De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. Dennis Smith had a heck of a night last night.
Yeah, he's actually the youngest player to ever do what he did last night in the history of the NBA. Youngest player to ever go 22-8-8.
That's a special statistic.
It's pretty cool.
The vaunted 22-8-8.
Are they going to make a T-shirt or hang a banner for that? Because that would be special.
It's a banner. They're hanging the banner next game. So screw you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We did have an arrangement where if De'Aaron Fox wins the Rookie of the Year, I actually have to change my name to De'Aaron.
That was the deal. And
okay.
Similarly, if Lonzo Ball wins, I have to change my name.
In-N-Out Burger.
But I think the reverse, though, is I don't change my name to Lonzo. I actually change it to LiAngelo, right? Is that...
Yeah, well, the better-looking ball.
Guys, don't forget LaMelo.
LaMelo has the best name. LaMelo has the best name.
That's a great name. That's a great name.
It really is a great name. Speaking of Melo, I watched the Kings play the Thunder last night, and Carmelo Anthony is the least fun person to watch play basketball.
Man, that's a great
name. Least fun. Also, Paul George LaMelo. Couldn't have been less interested. He is absolutely not staying there, no matter how many games they win or lose. The question is he going to go join Aaron's Lakers? Aaron, do you even want Paul George at this point?
Oh, give me Paul George. Yeah, of course. I need him.
Where can
bring
he
him
fit
on,
this
bring
lineup,
on LeBron.
Though? I don't know. So good.
And unretired Kobe. Bring him back.
Well, no, yeah. Who does he start over? Because you guys are playing sub 500 ball right now, and
5-6. Yeah. I mean, we just lost to Boston, but it was a tough fought game.
Well, the Kings are 2-8, and the Mavs are 2-10.
Oof! Ouch.
Yeah.
Hey, Skyler, didn't you sit on the floor of a Mavs game recently?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty sweet.
So, how did you get those tickets?
Craigslist.
And how expensive were they?
$100.
$100
for
floor seats?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Did you get a high five from Dennis Smith Jr. or Dirk Nowitzki or Jason Kidd or JJ Barea?
Yeah, they all walked by me. Dennis Smith Jr. gave me a pound.
What? That's cool.
That's pretty awesome. When you sit on the floor, do you get any perks? Is my question.
Yeah. So actually, there's a VIP lounge area where you can go and get food and drink that they definitely do not have for sale in the rest of the arena. Like, it's really fancy, swanky stuff. And then when you're sitting there, they come by and give you a menu of, like, just the basic concessions, their basic burgers, like popcorn, pretzels or whatever, drinks, and then it's all free throughout the game. And the guy will just come keep bringing it to you if you want. Like, you could be like, hey, I want 10 boxes of popcorn, and then you could just put them all in your backpack, and they'd be like, that's fine.
In the VIP lounge, do they have it set up so anyone can pitch like business ideas to Mark Cuban?
Yeah, it's actually the VIP lounge is similar to the set of Shark Tank. That it's actually just Cuban, and then he has three of the Mavs dancers sitting next to him.
I was gonna say, and they just, or lookalikes like Damon yeah. John lookalike.
Yeah, they just dance the whole time.
It's Kevin Hart. Well, I'll ask a couple quick questions. We'll move on from the NBA, but Aaron, are you pleased with Lonzo? Is this meeting expectations or not meeting expectations?
It's impossible to meet the expectations they had to come into the season.
But for you,
the
your
savior.
Expectations.
My expectation, he's fine. Like, he's a rookie, and I expected that. Mm. What I didn't expect was Kyle Kuzma just tearing the roof off of every building that he plays in. And he is my rookie of the year so far. Well, it doesn't matter that he's 25 years old.
He played at the University of Utah, so I have just absolutely no respect for him. So.
For 6 years, I think he played there, right?
Yeah, yeah. He probably served a mission, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
he definitely
no, it's been did. A rough year for Lonzo. He's going to get better, but he still looks like a rookie. So,
all right, Skyler,
would
same question.
Would it be possible for him to get worse, though?
Hmm. Oh, he could get worse.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, I want to see him shoot 15%.
What's Are you kidding me? Could he get worse? He could be Markelle Fultz.
Exactly.
There you go. Guys, he's not even playing right now.
Yeah, I know. And
sad.
If he were good, he would be.
Man, everyone's just like, yeah, he's definitely the number one overall pick.
Dude,
definitely.
Okay. Skyler, you were pretty hyped on Dennis Smith Jr. He got the Summer League MVP. Is he meeting expectations? Exceeding expectations
for
you?
He didn't get Summer League MVP. I'm pretty sure that was Lonzo. Oh.
It was Lonzo.
I see. But, I mix him up all the time.
But he came out of Summer League, and they asked all the rookies who they thought was going to win Rookie of the Year this
That's
year.
That's what it was.
And everyone said him, except for Lonzo.
He's everyone. Yeah, Lonzo. He's everyone's greatest friend, I guess, most popular award.
Yeah. People love him because he's the best. He's
What was his issue coming out of college? Like,
they
why
said he
did
was
he
difficult.
Fall?
They said he was difficult with coaches, and like he was not a good teammate. But like, the Mavs actually talked to his coach, who loved him. And, like, it was all just stuff that was really overblown because he was on a bad NC State team. Like, I mean, we're terrible right now, and he's totally fine in the locker room. In fact, him and Carlisle are getting along really well, which people didn't think would happen because Carlisle butts head with people a lot. But, like,
yeah.
Carlisle...
Snake in the grass?
Yeah, Carlisle, who hasn't had a rookie on his team with real playing time in his entire time in Dallas. Like, they sit on the plane together and just watch tape of point guards and talk about, like, emulating and defending and stuff. It's pretty cool. So
but now Carlisle is similar to Sacramento's coach, Dave Yeager, in that he doesn't play rookies. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but Carlisle is not going to – he's not the type of coach that's going to give a rookie a bunch of playing time to let them grow.
Well,
he's
so
going to
make the
them,
thing
like,
is,
earn it.
We haven't had that happen. Like,
oh, because
the Mavs
been
have been good
for
so
long.
that we haven't like kept a draft pick since we took like Juwan Howard in 2006. Like
that was a pretty good pick.
Yeah, because then we got Marquise Daniels in the second round. That was a hell of a draft because everybody
wore Marquise.
The wristbands and the headband, and then they just looked so dope. Man, I love both of those guys. I wonder what Marquise is doing now. He's probably poor, but he was awesome. But yeah, like the Mavs.
Can you bring that look back?
He should. We haven't drafted anybody for so long. Like, we kept what we do is every year we just take our first round pick, which was always like in the 20s, and then trade down to the second round, take somebody's expiring contract, and then just like get a European and stash them. Where like they would never come play for us. They're just in Europe, and none of them ever panned out. And like we've just been building entirely through free agency and trades for the last 15 years. And so this is our first time we've had a top 10 draft pick in 20 seasons since we took Dirk. And so it's been a very exciting time in Dallas. Because we haven't had a rookie before. So people thought Carlisle would be bad with him, but Carlisle really just hasn't had an opportunity to coach a good rookie up until now.
You ran into Carlisle in public, right, at a mall once, right?
And yeah, he was cool. I met him like 2.5 years ago in a mall, and he was incredible. It was during the playoffs.
Yeah, because you texted me right after it happened.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was a Sunday night at North Park Mall. I come out, I see him, and I like, go up to him and ask if I can take a picture and shake hands, and he was incredibly cool about it. Like, he was waiting to pick up his daughter from the movie theater, and he was just willing to talk and talk a little Mavs playoffs. I was shocked with how... It was like the day off between games. So like they were going to go practice the next day and then play the next day. And he was just like, just at the mall taking care of family stuff. Like, he's a guy.
Well, to be fair, he probably never gets recognized in public.
That's not
true. Or people want to take photos with him because they think he's Jim Carrey.
The thing is, he's like 6'5". So he stands out.
Well, like, so are you.
Yeah.
We have not met in person, obviously.
I've seen those photos of you at the alt-right protests.
Oh, dude.
You were towering over those.
I don't look like Mike Cernovich. Gosh.
I can't believe... We mentioned this in a past pod, but you weren't here to talk about it, Skylar. You were featured in an episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you just happened to be on the wrong side of not just the protest, but of history.
I'm obviously scoffing at something that an alt-right guy said.
There was a dude waving his Confederate flag, and then there's like this Trump supporter behind him that apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, you were going over there to, you know, try and talk some sense into him, but you got in the photo. You're like the winking in the LBJ photo guy. I mean, you are a part of the...
I'm the congressman, yeah. So there was a guy yelling while one of our dudes was talking. So I went over to him, and I was just like, put a hand on him. I was just like, hey, let's calm down a little bit. We don't have to yell. And he like calmed down immediately. And then that's when things escalated because the guy with the Confederate flag came over and started yelling like in the face of all the cameras. He was smart. He knew how to get the media attention. And so then at that point, I was just talking to the guy because he was trying to tell me how Trump would want him to fight for Texas if Texas seceded again. And like it was a lot of stuff. And then he was trying to explain to me freedom of speech, and people think freedom of speech means something that it doesn't. Like, even
that is a true thing.
Like, they were just talking this week about the lady in Virginia who was flipping off the president. Like, that's her free speech. How can they possibly fire? Yeah, people are stupid, but yeah.
Well, let's not get too much into that. Since this is the Brave Little Podcast, we talk movies. We welcome all political persuasions, people of all political persuasions.
I don't.
If you voted for Donald J. Trump, you're welcome to not listen to this podcast.
No, again. No.
And I
want
recommend
you to stick
you
around, but just know that
we
think you voted for the wrong person.
Think? We've now been dealing with this for a year. He's the worst president in modern history. The only reason he's worse is because there was a guy named James Garfield.
Okay. Martin Van Buren, I would argue, is worse. But that's beside the point. The point here is I got an iPhone 10 this weekend.
Ba-ba-da!
I cannot figure out how to show. I do not know how to move.
Which color did you get? Is that pink?
Yeah, I got the rose gold one.
Cool.
Are they still calling it rose gold?
No, they don't have rose gold anymore.
You're staying on brand by picking another pink one.
So this is a contractual thing I have to talk about since Apple is a sponsor of the Brave Little Podcast. They feature us on iTunes. We give them shout outs. You know, we scratch
their
back.
Well, they're the angel investors in the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just FYI, the iPhone X is perfect. The screen is gorgeous. wireless charging is amazing, and emojis are the funnest thing in the world, and that is our organic advertisement. Done. All right. Okay. Let's talk a couple movie news things, then we're getting to Thor Ragnarok. But guys, we have a Kevin Spacey problem. It turns out his character in the movie Seven was not a bit. It wasn't a role. He might actually be that person. Except not a serial killer, but a serial...
molester.
Yes.
We can call him that.
Didn't now, we all see American Beauty? Like, I mean, we saw this
coming. We did. We didn't realize that it was autobiographical or based on a true story, but it is. Fun fact, that movie was the opening shots of that movie were filmed in Sacramento. Anyway, Kevin Spacey, the fallout of these allegations, some horrible things you know, that are mentioned in these allegations, but we're not going to focus on those. We're going to focus on the fallout. What's happening to Kevin Spacey right now?
He's done.
So the story just came out. The story just came out that he was recast in the movie All in the Money, which is the Ridley Scott, J. Paul Getty kidnapping grandson movie.
So this was a film that was finished.
Completely finished. The trailer had already dropped. The official trailer was already released on YouTube. You can go on YouTube now and watch the trailer, and Kevin Spacey is in it.
And it's a big moment in the trailer. At the very end, it says, and Kevin Spacey as J. Paul Getty.
It's the most powerful moment in the entire trailer. It's still there. Go watch it before they take it down, because he has been recast, that role. He is no longer in the movie.
Oh, my gosh.
He's gone.
How many hours of prosthetics? And that's the last thing I should be focused on. But that dude is wearing a lot of prosthetics and that stuff. Probably wasn't fun. Granted, he did get paid. But they were moving him from the film.
Yeah.
And who is our closest Kevin Spacey lookalike? Who are they putting in?
Christopher Plummer, is it?
Oh, my gosh. Christopher
Plummer? So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's who they said.
Hey, Skyler.
Yeah.
What's the greatest Christopher Plummer movie? We're going solo on you right now.
The one where he's a Nazi.
Okay.
Which one is that? I don't know that one.
I just wanted to go wide on the screen.
They're singing as a family, and like the hills are alive with the sound of music. Sound of music. Sound. That's what it was.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So they're cutting him out of the movie, which is, in my mind, is crazy. I mean, yes, the allegations are horrible, and yes, he should pay the steepest penalty imaginable, but I would have never imagined they would cut him out and refilm his scenes in what seems to be a pretty substantial role in the film. Netflix cutting him out of House of Cards and a Netflix movie that he produced and made. I forget, it's a biopic of some kind. They've already filmed the whole thing. From what I understand, it's already even either finished editing or close to being finished. And now Netflix is just not going to release that film. They made a movie and they're just not going to release it.
I heard that Netflix is going to go back and actually replace him in Pay It Forward. They're going to put Christopher Plummer in that one,
It too. Could be the grown-up Haley Joel Osment playing the older...
Fat Joel
Osment? Oh, my gosh.
I love Fat Joel
So, Osment. You know, it is pretty unprecedented that someone like the degree of Kevin Spacey's replaced in a movie, right? But it's not the first time. So the movie Pulp Fiction, have you seen that movie?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so the role of Jules, played by Sam Jackson, right? Originally, they filmed that with O.J.
No.
So O.J. was cast in the role of Jules.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they replaced him with Sam Jackson because he had some legal troubles in 94. So, yeah.
That's not real. That's not a real story.
Did you know that?
There's no way. Is it true? Skyler, is it true?
No, that's not true.
No. Well, that's not true, but there is in a similar story, Back to the Future, like before they cast Michael J. Fox, there was like 6 weeks where they filmed with a different actor who I don't know if you guys know this. It was O.J. Simpson. And
oh,
they just
my
didn't
goodness.
Feel like he was right for the role. Like this visual of him running down the street in the 50s and
O.J. Simpson was Marty McFly?
Yeah. And like the problem is the town members just kept saying really racist things to him and referring to him as boy a lot. And so they had to shut down production and bring him.
See, I heard a different version of this story.
Yeah.
I heard that is like in part of the prep while they're doing like all the work, he gets in the DeLorean, he goes to the future and finds out that he did some pretty bad stuff. And he comes back and he's like, uh-oh. Guys, I got some stuff to take care of.
See, now I heard...
We're going back.
I got to go buy some undersized gloves.
I heard that the doc got him involved. He went back in the past 1 minute, came back in the DeLorean, and cops were there and arrested him for stealing an old white man's DeLorean.
So. Well, actually, none of those are true because it was a Robert Zemeckis movie, and he couldn't have two black people in it. The guy that played Goldie, who eventually became mayor, was the only black guy allowed
that's
in that movie.
That's not true because Marvin Berry's cousin is in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's your cousin.
Marvin Berry.
Chris Barber commented, Marty Mick stabbed my wife.
What?
I wish Beamer were here to defend him.
He would, too.
I'm glad that somebody has commented on our video 10 minutes in.
We haven't even talked Thor Ragnarok, and that's what's like at the top of the video. It says we're talking Thor Ragnarok. We haven't even gotten to it yet.
So you're saying that once we start talking about it, people will like magically
Yeah, the numbers
start
are
going to
go through the roof, the comments. Well, maybe people will get what we're advertising. Other movie news.
Movie news.
We have a new trailer for Steven Spielberg's next film, and it's not Ready Player One. He made, this is like a Schindler's List, Jurassic Park scenario where he made two movies back to back and is going to be releasing them in the same year or within 6 months of each other. So we have Ready Player One's teaser trailer already. The new trailer is for The Post, which is about the Washington Post during the Vietnam era and about they were going to publish some government documents starring Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. This thing looks like it's made for Oscars, for the Oscars. Did you guys watch this trailer?
Just watched it right before we started recording.
What'd you think?
I love Bob Odenkirk. And I couldn't really hear any of the dialogue because you guys were talking over it. But it looks like a lot of serious stuff is going on. I feel like Tom Hanks is trying to play Michael Keaton in this.
Yes. So
he's been doing that for years, so.
Mm-hmm. Guys, is Tom Hanks trying to talk with an accent in this movie?
He's doing an accent.
I heard some hint of it. It's bad.
Because Keaton did the same thing. Keaton had a terrible accent in the Boston Globe movie.
Look, I know Aaron is not a big Spielberg fan, but Skylar and I have some admiration due to, obviously, Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, The Terminal, War Horse. War
Lincoln.
Of the Worlds. Lincoln. But guys, I watched this.
The big giant.
This is a trailer that should excite me. Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. A movie about journalism. I loved Spotlight. I could not be less interested in this movie. It looks not just uninteresting, but like bad. Like I'm really concerned.
Well, you can already tell just by watching the trailer. It's going to be incredibly boring. Like, it is going to be a slog. There's no doubt about it.
Jesse Plemons is in this movie. And if you have Jesse Plemons in your movie and you don't use him in the trailer, I'm concerned.
Plemons is in this?
Yes.
Are we sure?
He's on IMDb, but they could have cut him, you know?
We are decidedly pro Plemons in this podcast.
Can I tell you guys, no matter how bad or good this movie is, doesn't matter, but both Tom and Meryl are getting Oscar nods.
Oh,
I mean, Meryl's getting that.
Meryl's gonna get
nod no matter what. No matter
Tom doesn't get him every year anymore. I don't know. Maybe
he doesn't have the
cachet that Meryl does. Because, you know, Odenkirk is beloved by everyone right now. David Cross, not so much.
Better Call Saul is one of the best shows on television, in my mind.
Remember that.
Yeah, this trailer looks bad, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
terrible. All right. Anything else?
One last comment on the trailer. I feel like Barkhad Abdi as Richard Nixon was a weird casting choice, but hey.
So this
when Tom Hanks is in a movie, he needs Barkhad Abdi to come in and tell him, I am the president now.
Well, there's been enough whitewashing in the movies that we're looking to even the score. And cast, regardless of ethnicity, you know, cast whoever. Barkhad Abdi, yes, he's Somalian. Doesn't matter. Even if Richard Nixon wasn't Somalian, Barkhad Abdi is an Academy Award nominated actor. And to be fair, the last time we had an Academy Award nominated actor play Nixon, it was Frank Langella in Frost Nixon. That was rough.
That's a tough watch right there.
Yeah, I think he actually got still nominated for
that movie.
Is
Michael Shannon not nominated?
I don't think Michael Shannon was, but Frank Langella certainly was.
Shannon should have an Oscar nom. He's so good.
Aaron, anything else?
No, just looking. Oh, did you guys see the trailer for Jim and Andy? It's the behind the scenes footage of Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
It's coming out on Netflix next week, I think. It's the 17th.
I'm interested.
I'm interested too.
I haven't.
It does look pretty interesting, but I kind of wish that we got a behind the scenes doc of Jim doing Ace Ventura.
Oh,
when are we gonna get that one?
We are gonna get that one, right? I mean, I want to know how he got into character. Like,
wait, wasn't that what the new Star Wars story was supposed to be? They're just gonna show Ace Ventura's acting method by having Han Solo spread his butt cheeks and talk like his butt has a mouth.
Right. That's right. That was Phil Lord and Chris Miller's idea of the Han Solo movie, was have him be like Ace Ventura.
That was a bold choice.
Whoever leaped from the set of Han...
I'm glad they brought back the rhino from Ace Ventura 2.
Oh my
2.
Gosh.
Guys, I need
That's
to
when nature
or
calls,
something.
Right?
That was for with the sequel. So I just said that Michael Shannon played Nixon, and I feel so stupid. It was all-around great guy Kevin
Frost.
Spacey, who's never been nominated. Oh, has he been nominated?
Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey has absolutely been nominated.
He
won Academy Award.
The last Oscar-nominated actor to play Nixon was Kevin Spacey himself, Hollywood pariah.
He played Nixon?
Yeah, remember in Elvis
and Nixon? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Michael Halen.
Dude, they're going to have to remove him out of there
Phoenix?
As well. Oh, it's, in fact, that's pronounced Hylan. Michael's one of my best friends. Grew up with him.
Do we need to nosotros hablos
Michael,
español
best man at my
Arizona?
Wedding.
Oh, really?
Yep. Coming in from Phoenix, Arizona.
NYC.
Wow. How
City?
Many best men did you have? Just
I
one?
Had, I had 10 groomsmen, and I told each one of them privately and individually that they were the best man. And if they were cool, just maybe not telling the other 9 that they had that designation.
Hey, Michael, I'm sorry to hear that, man. I'm sorry you got used like that.
It's been 7 years later, so cat's out of the bag. But
yeah,
he's watching from Phoenix. We've got Chris Barber watching from New York City.
NYC City, baby.
And, of course, I'm in Sacramento. Aaron's in Los Angeles and Skyler's in Dallas. So let's get to Ragnatok. You guys ready to talk this?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Skyler decided he was going to love this movie before he even saw it.
I believe I...
Why is that, Skyler?
I've said for at least all year that this was my most anticipated movie of the year over the new Star Wars. And
why?
Because my favorite movie of last year was The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm-hmm.
It's pronounced Wilder People.
Yes. And also we should note, we did do a podcast where we ranked our films, and you did not rank that as your favorite film of the year.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And Time's a Flat. I like Ex Machina more than I like Mad Max now. I mean, time's changed things. But,
oh, I wish that were true.
The time changes things?
But you're a Taika Waititi fan.
Right. What did I have? Do you have a list of what our top 10 were? I bet it was in my top 3.
No, but it wasn't your number 1.
How do you know? What
was wasn't even
one?
Close.
You said Rogue One was the best Star Wars film ever.
I didn't say it was my favorite movie of the year, though. There's no way in hell I said it was my favorite movie of the year.
Mm.
No, you said it was Mad Max was your number 1.
That was 2
the year
ago.
Before.
No, you also put it in this
last year.
Oh,
that's right.
Year.
He claimed that the black and white edition, since it was released technically in the next calendar year, that it counted.
Black and chrome, bro. Black and chrome. It looks great in 4K.
Oh, boy.
Wait, so what's your favorite Taika Waititi? Taika Waititi directed Thor Ragnarok.
Don't get cute
favorite...
with this Lava Boy stuff.
Yeah.
Shark Boy vs. Lava Girl was really good. No, Eagles... Actually, I didn't like Eagle vs. Shark. I haven't watched it in a while, but it's not my favorite movie. I feel like he's a director who's gotten a lot better with time. When What We Do in the Shadows came out, I was blown away. Like, his performance...
Is it better than Wilder People?
No. Wilder People is my...
I agree.
It's top 5 favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like grown... I've watched it like 20 times in the last year, though. I've watched it a bunch.
It's excellent.
It's a great watch every weekend. It's just... It's such a strong film. And the storytelling and the ability he has to develop
tone...
In
Wilder People, you're referring to?
Yeah.
So
just, that's what
maybe let's give
on
people
this.
A little background, because Taika is not a household name yet.
Not yet, exactly.
I think he's,
But Taika Waititi, a New Zealand filmmaker who up to this point's made, I think, 4 small
features.
What's that?
He's done four features at this point.
Four features, all in based in New Zealand, all of like independent, I guess financed by the New Zealand Film Commission, but very small budgets, very intimate films. He's got a very kind of quirky sense of humor and personality that makes his movies fun. He's most well known for What We Do in the Shadows, which is a vampire mockumentary, and then Hunt for the Wilder People, which was released last year, starring Sam Neill from Jurassic Park fame. And the kid who plays Ricky Baker that no one knows. But FYI, just quick side note, if you're listening and you have not seen Hunt for the Wilder People, please go and watch it. I think it's still on Hulu. Yeah. Okay. Seriously, watch that movie. It's one of the few instances where I feel like no matter your taste in movies, no matter who you are, I feel so confident in saying you're going to enjoy the experience of watching that movie. You're just going to like that movie.
I agree. I don't know how you couldn't like the movie.
I don't know how you couldn't either. It's so strong.
By the way, his name's Julian Dennison. I don't want you putting disrespect Julian Dennison. On his name.
No, I don't disrespect him. It just will never see him in another movie again.
It's not true.
Now, Aaron, put the spotlight on you here. Aaron hated Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, that's not true.
I'm kidding.
I mildly tolerated it, just like I did for Thor Ragnarok.
You like Superman a lot more.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right?
No, it's good. It's like speaking, Skylar brought up the tone of Hunter of the Wilder People. I think that's the most impressive part of the Thor Ragnarok is the tone, the tonal change.
Mm-hmm.
They went from a serious Thor backstory to just basically an action comedy movie, which is like there's a joke basically every other scene. There's constantly, like, you see the actors constantly riffing, and you can tell that they're having a good time making this movie.
So,
it's the best part of the movie, I think.
That's surprising here. Okay, so Marvel has this machine, okay? They've pumped out 16 of these movies that have been wildly successful. Incredible track record in terms of, you know, certainly box office returns and pretty decent on the critic reviews, like really, for superhero movies. Pretty incredible. So why would they go to this obscure New Zealand filmmaker that's known for like kind of improvising on set, you know, adjusting the script? Granted, correct me if I'm wrong, Skylar, since I think you're the YTT expert. Every film he's directed up to this point, he's also written or co-written.
Right. Absolutely.
So now he's directing something that's not his script. Were you nervous that they were going to stifle kind of his creative edge, that the Disney machine was going to kind of...
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's the thing I was most terrified about, was that he would get just neutered, which we've seen recently a lot. And like Colin Trevorrow had a pretty cool like voice in his films. And then he goes and makes Jurassic World, which just was a voiceless... Like, that could have been directed by anybody. That could have been directed by...
Brett Ratner.
But it could have been, like, the guy who did Yes Man. Woody Allen. And Ant-Man. That guy's just such a generic director. Like, it's just... I was really worried we were going to go see it, and it was going to be, like, a lot of the Marvel movies. And it'd just kind of be another Marvel movie in a long line of Marvel movies, which they're fine. But, like, the Thor movies have not performed well in the box office. They haven't...
Made money.
They've made money, but like not a ton.
Comparatively, compared to the rest of the MCU, I would argue it's the weakest of like the standalone. Like 1 and 2, like is way weaker than the 1 and 2 of any of the other superheroes.
Yeah,
in the
Iron
MCU.
Man, Captain America, they all kill it. Like it's way behind.
Heck, and even Eric Bana and Edward Norton, the 1 and 2 as Incredible Hulk, is better.
Yeah, and that is why I was way. I don't know. The trailers set me up to think that it was going to be very Taika-friendly. Like, it was going to have a lot of his humor, and mm-hmm. it was going to be what we were hoping for. And it absolutely delivered in every way for me on that. Like, that's why I was so excited getting out of that movie, was I just had such high expectations, and it delivered in every way. And it was a Taika movie. It's not my favorite Taika movie. Like, it's not better than Hunt for the Wilder People. But it's probably the funniest Taika movie I've ever seen. It was so jam-packed with jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
So was it better than you were expecting?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Like...
Aaron.
Yeah.
So I want to jump over to Aaron, though. Your experience. You're probably the least Marvel fan here in this group.
Yeah, that's safe to say. I've been burned out on the superhero movies for the past 4 years, sure. Basically. I thought the first Iron Man was clever. After that, it's been pretty much just boring. But this movie, this Thor Ragnarok, was exactly what I was hoping it would be. Because it totally diverted. It stopped taking the Marvel Universe so seriously. And it just became kind of tongue-in-cheek. It became fun again, is what it really became. So, yeah, I'm super appreciative that Marvel loosened the reins and they let Taika do his thing. He obviously has great insights into comedy. He's a very solid visual director. Yeah, he knows what he's doing behind that camera for sure. But, yeah, his strength is the comedy. And he's actually a pretty good voice actor, too. He voices the character of Krog or whatever that
is. Yeah, or the thing, Korg. Whatever you want to call it.
The thing, exactly, the blue thing.
Korg.
So... Similar to Skylar.
He is, yeah.
An established character, are you saying before
inside
this
the
movie?
Marvel Universe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those who have seen it and those who are listening, if you didn't know, the voice of that blue rock monster known as Korg is the voice of the director of the film, Taika Waititi. I feel like a vast majority of people watching that film will have no idea who that is. And so that is
which
the
is good. I think that's good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does an outrageous accent, but it like just works. Yeah. It's phenomenal. I can't believe they let him do that accent. Like, I get that he's the director, but like the Marvel people let him put that accent into a character that's in that universe. It's insane.
Well, think about it. It's a pretty unique accent as well. We don't get to hear it a lot in movies, and I think that helps. We hear British all the time. Obviously, we hear even South African. We hear more than that.
Yeah.
So. I think it was a nice novelty touch.
And he goes full Kiwi in that character, which is like the whole...
Absolutely.
You know, it's
like a caricature. It's over the top. Yeah, it's
yeah,
great.
exactly. So, it's this idea of him being this huge rock monster that'd be super intimidating, but he's got this chill, kind-hearted Kiwi, you know, like have no cares type of...
Yeah, I feel like Korg and his preacher or priest character from Wilder People are very similar characters, like... They have kind of that same high-pitched, over-the-top accent that's just so lovable. Although, mm-hmm. more lisp in that last Wilder People character, but man, so good.
I'm just going to highlight a quick comment here from Jocelyn Clark Merkley, who says that all the Marvel movies since Ant-Man have been filmed in the new Pinewood Studio in my hometown. She's in Georgia, so she's referring to Atlanta. But it's worth noting, all of them except Ragnarok, which was filmed in Australia. Per Chris Hemsworth's request, right?
Well, I mean, Cate Blanchett, then Tyke's from
Cate
across
Blanchett.
The water.
Yeah, but they had already decided to shoot in Australia by the time that they had done that. And you get Carl Urban, who is another Kiwi, just come over from New Zealand to film.
Did Idris Elba go to Australia to film his?
He
Idris Elba
zero scenes
didn't interact with another human being.
I thought he was in Pinewood. I bet he was.
Oh, I think he was at Pinewood, but I don't think any other human was on screen with him.
No, never.
No,
not once.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Idris, he filmed his part for this movie in 30 seconds, and then they just replayed it over and over.
Yes, and he did it out of contractual obligation, because as much as I really did love this movie, poor Idris Elba. I think he's a little bit bigger than Heimdall.
It's such a bummer, because he could be, like, that's such a cool character, but I bet he thought he'd be doing spin-off movies by now. Like,
Heimdall should be getting his own movies, especially if you have Idris Elba.
He was just so, really. What a forgettable role. Like, just that whole time for him was just so sad. And
yeah.
He had so little to do, and he looked so bored. And
I know.
I imagine he walked on set, and they're like, hey, Idris, here's the context. But he's like, you're doing that crap digital. You're doing it digital. Yeah. You're doing it in post.
You better get it on the first
I'm
take.
I'm not putting those contacts in. You're doing all that in post.
Well, I mean, so we're talking about the misuse of a character. A great actor is what he is. But let's talk about the... perfect use of another great actor in Tessa Thompson as the Valkyrie. Well, I don't remember what her character name is.
Valkyrie. Or Scrapper 142.
Is it Valkyrie? Okay.
Yeah.
How great was she?
Phenomenal.
So, she's my MVP. Like, we know... Hemsworth's comedic chops were on display here, and I think just... I should say a side note. The moment that I knew that this movie was going to be okay and Taika was going to be able to be Taika is at the very beginning when... Thor is hanging in chains talking to this big flame monster, and he tells him to hold up because he was twisting just out of sight, and he's asking him to wait for him to come back around again. That was such a Taika-type joke that there's just no way that was written in a script by any of the, whatever the screenwriter by committee was. That's when I knew it was going to be good. Chris Hemsworth is incredible with his comedic chops, as we've seen in the Ghostbusters remake. But Tessa
I'd
Thompson...
I'd argue that he was better in Ghostbusters.
Tessa Thompson... is the best actor in this movie. Oh, I don't think there's. I don't think there's a question. She's the best actor in this movie.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett's great, but she's kind of hamming it up. She had fun with
it. Best performance. I'm saying best actress.
I'm just saying within the movie, the best.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I was like, okay, we're talking about Goldblum.
No. Cate Blanchett's got 2 Oscars. No way. Yeah. But no, I'm saying within the movie, Tessa Thompson's my MVP. She pulled off the, like, I don't give a care. Like, I actually want to be here. We knew she was going to be this reluctant hero that had to come back. Like, you knew where the story was still going to go. Yet she still pulled it off in a way that was, like, interesting, fresh, and surprise. They didn't make it, like, a love story between her and Thor, even though Thor is still getting over his breakup with Natalie Portman, who, just got a throwaway line at the beginning, which was amazing.
But I feel like the fact that it was just a throwaway line got a pretty big laugh in my theater. Like, people quite enjoyed the fact that we were just completely overlooking her.
Yeah, everyone's okay with it just being written out. Are you guys okay with the fact that they had this whole storyline about Odin going to New York City just so they could put Doctor Strange in the movie? Or did that feel a little too forced for you?
And then to make the whole thing, look, he's the same actor that played Sherlock. Ah.
I didn't get that.
That didn't feel like Taika did that. I feel like that was the B crew that did all that. Like, Taika's like, I don't want this. And then Marvel's like, you got to do this. And he's like, okay, fine.
What about the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
That was all Taika.
That was all Taika.
I can't believe they got the licensing for that.
Because, I mean, you know that Taika was probably in the editing bay, editing that scene where he's traveling, you know, through that little, like, portal. And he's like, hold up. This reminds me of Willy Wonka. Like,
right. Like, so
that was not planned.
One of the things I love about Taika is he is not somebody who likes writing jokes. So even when he writes his own movies, he has the stories, he has it all laid out, he has directions, but he doesn't like write in jokes. And so all those jokes that are in his movies are things that are made up on set, including this, which is interesting because I think that the scripts they had jokes in them, but they did not use them. Like, they, everything you see in the film was completely from day of set stuff. Now, it's not like improv, like he's sitting there actually improvising lines on set. Like, he's day of coming up with jokes, talking with the actors, like doing all this, and then they take it and then try out 10 different things, which I feel like the extras, I hope, has like a 30-40 minute reel of just all the jokes that they tried in place of things, just to kind of see how great they were. But
yeah, man, it really makes me wonder how many, it's like, it reminds me of like the Anchorman extra features. You catch all of these scenes where they have so many different versions of the line,
like they do 10 different jokes.
You know
that
that's how Ragnarok was. Like,
oh yeah,
right. So we have the upside, which is Ragnarok, and we also have the downside, which was Ghostbusters, where they did the exact same thing, and Ghostbusters failed miserably with that, allowing them to improv.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I want to say a lot of things about why that failed. man. There's a lot of reasons why that movie didn't work. Sorry.
Are we talking
Sorry
Ghostbusters?
Yes.
I'll give you the reason why Ghostbusters 2016 failed. The reason it failed and then Ragnarok did so well. Chris Hemsworth is the least funny person in Ragnarok. Chris Hemsworth was the funniest person in Ghostbusters 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And I find That's Kate rough. McKinnon and... and Melissa McCarthy, very funny.
So funny. Kristen Wiig, ooh, laughs a minute. Chris Hemsworth is funnier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look at who's at the helm there. Paul Feig versus Taika. So, yeah.
It's Feige.
So, I think, yeah.
Feiger,
so, I mean,
Feiger
it just
backing.
Goes to show how it goes to show how important a great director is, right?
Absolutely. So, speaking of that, so we talk about Taika and his sensibility and getting to do what he wants to do. Like, part of Taika's magic isn't just the fact he throws out funny lines for line readings to get people to do, you know, all these different versions and all these different takes. By the way, like the snake story, I just don't think that was written in the script.
No.
And it was There's amazing. No way. I've seen it twice. That was the biggest laugh in both of the screenings I went to. Easily the biggest laugh. But
it's not my favorite laugh, though.
So it's not just that Taika can throw out the lines. Taika creates an environment on set, from everything I've read and everything I've heard, that makes people feel loose, comfortable, happy, and then kind of, like, it's his job as a director to get people in the zone where they can come up with their own lines, or they can come up with, like, you know, they can improv some good stuff. And I feel like that's part of what he does, is, like, he creates this environment where people can thrive, and it shows in all of these scenes. Like, I'm convinced I'm seeing the best version of whatever the improv is in each of these scenes, And to me, it worked, and it worked consistently from beginning to end, all the way to my very favorite sequence, which is the very end when the Immigrant song by Led Zeppelin comes back, the same song from the very beginning. That's an action sequence that I honestly think is one of the best action sequences in any of the Marvel movies. It's incredible. Like, it's amazing. So for him to be able to have packed so much emotion and punch in that last scene, and also like keep the story together where I'm interested in where, you know, where these characters are going, it's pretty amazing.
If you heard, I was listening to some interview with Taika, I think it was Channel 33 podcast. Mm. He talks about how specifically the Immigrant song was part of his, basically his pitch.
Yeah.
And he didn't feel like they could get it because it's famously really difficult to get anything licensed in a movie, anything from Led Zeppelin. But his reel or his pitch was so good, so convincing that Led Zeppelin let him have it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you see how it's used in the movie, you understand because it's perfect. The use of Immigrant Song in those scenes, those two sequences, I mean, it's just flawless. So really well done. And it just goes to show the importance of having a great song to score an action sequence.
Yeah, famously hard to get Led Zeppelin to agree to. It's amazing, like, through, you know, most of the years in their prime, of course, they would, the last type of band that would commercialize their music for Hollywood in that way. But as they've gotten in their older age, whichever ones that are still alive, yeah, I think the paycheck, and Taika literally says that in that podcast you reference.
Yeah.
He said they were sending Led Zeppelin the actual footage with the song so they could see, and just cash. Just write him a huge check and be like, hey, so can we use this? And at their point in this career, it's just, why not? And I get why an artist wouldn't want to commercialize their music. Like, I get that. Except, really, their music is being used in a really good way. And it totally services it. And it's not, you know, it's not unnecessary. It complements it.
It's a good point because that song is tired. Like, that song, we've heard it on the radio every day for the last 40 years or however long it's been released since the mid-70s. It's really tired. It's a song that you're bored of and you can't even listen to anymore. But it works so well. It packs such a punch in that scene that it's great. Like, it feels fresh again. So,
yeah, absolutely. Sorry, we dropped Skylar there for a second. Welcome back.
Yeah, it was no big deal. Aaron got us covered.
Skylar, who
was banned for a minute.
Who are your MVPs in this movie?
I think my MVPs are going to be Topaz and the Grandmaster.
Grandmaster. Let's talk Jeff Goldblum.
Something I've heard is people wanted more Goldblum, people wanted more like this and this. And like, I would love more Grandmaster, more Goldblum's performance, because Goldblum pretty much plays a space version of himself. And the jokes that he doesn't say, like, there's a few times where he just like completely stops talking. And like, those were my biggest laughs during the movie. And I thought he absolutely killed it. I loved everything about what he brought to the movie. And then I thought his chemistry with his muscle man, who was Topaz, played by Rachel House, who's been in a bunch of Taika movies. She's the grandma from Moana. She was one of my Donald nominees for last year. She killed it. She is so good. And she has like this really incredible weapon called the Melting Stick, which I feel like is an all-time great movie weapon, and I freaking...
Well, I mean, it's really a sight gag, don't you think?
It's a great sight gag. Like, even it watching really Thor having to watch that was a great joke. Like,
it was great.
His reaction was really good. And I just thought she was great. I enjoyed how angry she was. Like, I liked her and Tessa Thompson's interactions. Like, the scene where she comes in to bring him Thor... And then they go back and forth, like, he wants to refer to her as the best, but Topaz is, like, trash. Like, it's so natural, and, like, it all felt so real. And I feel like such a step away from anything we've seen. Like, even Guardians of the Galaxy didn't have characters like that. And yeah, so
this is a funnier movie.
Is this funnier than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, Guardians of the Galaxy even has the... It has the benefit of the fact you're introducing these cool new characters, like, so you get a whole lot of like new world building, and like they went up to all these different worlds. Sakaar is my favorite planet we've seen. Like, that place, the coloring, like the thought that went into what people look like there, just like I could watch a whole movie from Sakaar. Like if they wanted to go back there, that'd be great.
Yeah.
The visuals have I really love it.
Like the different ships and like
yeah. There's a ship in the back.
I love the ship design. The ship design was great.
It was amazing. It was really amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and like the firework design was really great too.
The happy birthday
party. it's himself saying happy birthday. Man.
I think it's safe to say it's the funniest movie of the year. Right?
It's the funniest movie I've seen this year for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Bad Mom's Christmas.
Granted, Daddy's Home 2 comes out this weekend, so
Gibson's going to be really funny. I hear he has a whole
there could be a new belt holder.
Who's started all the wars in the whole world?
Can we talk about least valuable player
in
this movie?
Yes,
please.
But let me also just can I just gush a little bit more about Jeff Goldblum, because Skylar mentioned the scene, and this is to me is just a good example of why this movie worked, and also why I think it was way riskier than we may even be giving it credit. But that scene when Jeff Goldblum is talking about how time works on Sakaar, and he's describing how old he is, and then he just kind of stops, has that coy look, and then there's kind of this laugh, and then it cuts to
Sakaar. I've been here for half a million years,
it lingers pretty long on him, which is like ha ha. And then it cuts to Thor being like, what is he talking about?
So confused. And
it's the type of scene, it's just the type of scene that would never work on paper. You don't write that out. You have to have Goldblum, you have to have Hemsworth. But there were clearly in the moment, and I'm sure there's a lot of versions of that scene, but in the moment Taika was like, I want a version where it's like this. And he gets the most Jeff Goldblum mannerisms and reaction out of him. Like it's the most Goldblum-y thing I can think of. And just the timing of it is impeccable. And it was one of the funnier moments and also super bizarre and a good example of the type of thing that Marvel probably wouldn't have let a director do 5 years ago. 2 years
ago. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that they fired Edgar Wright from Ant-Man makes me think that there's some new thinking going on that they want to be able to push. Although Edgar Wright was writing Ant-Man, so maybe it was a different thing with the MCU disagreements. But, man, that joke, it did not play well in my theater. I think I was one of three people laughing, but I was laughing so hard. Like it connected. And you're right. Like it does feel kind of risky as far as a Marvel movie is concerned, because it's such a sharp change from what we've seen in the last movie. It's almost like a parody of Marvel movies in a way. Like, you have Hulk fighting a giant wolf.
It bordered parody at times, for sure.
And it was incredible, but at the same time, I mean, we can talk about it, but there's people who are big Marvel heads, which I can't imagine. Like, I think we all agree, Marvel movies are like really well made, but we don't love them. Like, it's fun that we keep getting all these Marvel movies, and I'll keep going to them. But like, also, this is like my first Marvel movie I've really loved. Like, I really Guardians.
Since when?
Like,
since the first Guardians?
Yeah. And I loved the first Iron Man when I saw that. I was like, man, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, he's muted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's... Yeah, I don't think he knows he's muted. Okay. I don't know about you, Aaron, but I still... Like, I put it up there... Like, some of my favorite Marvel movies are Iron Man, Avengers, the first Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier. I know I liked Civil War and you did not.
No.
And so... I put it in that upper tier, though.
Without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. And I think to tag on to what Skylar was saying, I think this movie feels like... So a lot of the Marvel movies feel like they're soulless to me. And they feel very corporate and very much like shells and paint by numbers. This movie has a soul, without a doubt. And it's incredibly unique. And I think that's why it's so much fun. I think it's as far as Marvel movies goes, it's probably in my top three.
Okay.
I think it's easily in my top three, if not one or two.
It's definitely in the top five somewhere for me. I need time and another rewatch before I even would try to rank.
And you've seen it twice, right?
I've seen it twice.
You've already seen it twice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it helped. The second time was super exciting. Seeing it with audiences is a fun thing. So anyone listening to this that's like even remotely interested in going to see Thor Ragnarok, I would recommend going in the theater, because it's funny enough that it's a good experience to experience, you know, to be around other people, to see where the laughs come, and like it is really unexpected.
I mean, it's a comedy.
Yeah,
totally.
It's totally absolutely. There's a rock paper scissors joke, and it lands.
There is. Like, it's very strong. It's actually interesting because I remember seeing Tyco was at Sundance last year, I think, mm-hmm. and he was like getting interviewed for another project, and one of the people was like, "Hey, you're doing Thor Ragnarok." He's like, "Yeah." Like, what can you tell us? Like, what's gonna be different between this and like the last Thor movies? Like, obviously you have a background in comedy. He's like, "Well, it's gonna be just like the other Thor movies, but more jokes." And like at the time, I thought he was like making fun of the person for like assuming that he was just gonna take a movie and then like add humor. But like in a lot of ways, in a very simplified version of what he did, like he took the Thor movies and then he added comedy. And like obviously he completely changed the tone. He had like a really interesting story to tell, but like ultimately it was adding humor. And like that's, I guess that's what makes it hard, because comedy can also be subjective. And if you're already offended that these movies don't feel like your idea of this comic book you love, then you're probably going to feel sour on the jokes.
Yeah, so and we should wrap our conversation up with talking about what Aaron had alluded to earlier, like our least valuable players or the kind of low points, because there are people I've talked to who have really not liked this film. That is too slapsticky, too jokey, and to them, didn't just border on parody, it went full parody, and this big Marvel, you know, cinematic universe that's been built through all of these 16, now 17 films, that this one, it was almost poking fun and not taking it seriously. Like, for example, like Loki in the Avengers is a serious bad guy, and Loki is just kind of like a jokey side character here. I mean, he's more than that, but like, he's not the big bad A that he used to be.
Right. No, not at all. Yeah, and I think that's where the movie, for me, fails. Kind of Cate Blanchett doesn't feel like a good villain to me. She puts on a good performance, but at no point do I feel like she's actually has a chance of reaching her goal. But my biggest least MVP, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense, is Carl Urban as Scourge.
Oh, yes. I thought he was completely this was a problem.
Disagree.
You don't bring in A. Omer to be a coward.
He was not a coward.
He was a coward, bro. He was a coward.
Did you guys not see the Endless movie? What was wrong with
he has a great
projector?
Look.
He does have a great
projector.
Don't diss
Scourge on me, man. I love Scourge. And I thought
he had the shake weight scene, but that's it.
Shake weight scene, the Dez and Troy scene.
Glamorized guns. It was very much guns are awesome type of messaging. I don't know how I feel about mm-hmm. that.
I thought it was great.
Not ready for that. Not ready.
I honestly thought he did really well, because I thought he played a... I know. I think one of you said he was a really one-note character, but I thought he played a character with a pretty broad range, actually. Like
broad range.
He is this character who's a coward, but he's also really has a lot of pride, and then he kind of comes around to what it means to be an Asgardian, and you see a lot of that happen without any audio, because he's not allowed to talk to anyone about what he's doing.
The extent that you're going right now to defend Carl Urban's honor is admirable. And I like Carl Urban, but look—he was not meant to be a character with like a fully developed arc here. He was not on screen long enough to do that.
Dude, Scourge was on screen for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right. 15, 17 minutes.
That's a pretty major character. I mean, this was this probably could have been called Thor Scourge Rock. Or just Skrr Ragnarok.
I'm going to go out and say, like, I would rather have him not be in this film and that character be totally gone and give all those minutes to Idris Elba as Heimdall.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, because he literally takes Idris Elba's role. He literally takes it.
He had more to work with. That's the thing.
Okay, him showing up at the play, like, after the awkward conversation was worth his character being in this film. Like, that moment of him arriving was fantastic. And that wasn't a coward's moment. Like,
that was a telegraph joke, though. It wasn't that. I mean,
dude, you can't hate on a joke for being coming. A tele. Like,
yeah, but
a
I mean, it
joke.
Wasn't.
Of course, you know it's coming. That's why they show him leaving. Like, that's a joke format. Like, it's
okay. But speaking of that theater scene, now I know we've gotten to some plot spoilers, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't, because judging by the comments, there are people listening that haven't seen it yet. But we get a couple of celebrity cameos. In this theater scene. There's a scene where they're depicting...
We get three cameos.
Three cameos. We get three.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, my question to you guys, and be honest with me, the actor playing Thor, did you know who it was at first? Because I could not figure it out.
Yeah, dude. I just watched Westworld.
I absolutely didn't.
Because I was watching thinking how hilarious it would be if it was Liam Hemsworth, and it wasn't Liam Hemsworth.
I was surprised they didn't do Liam, but I'm glad that they got Fat.
I'm glad that they didn't, because the other one looks so. I mean, I'm okay spoiling this one. It was Luke Hemsworth, his older brother, like the Hemsworth brother that no one knows. like a very poor man's Chris Hemsworth.
He was in Westworld, though. He had a pretty big role in Westworld.
Yeah, he was in Westworld. Now, the actor that plays Loki is much more of an A-lister. And I'm assuming they must
Don't
have got...
Don't spoil that one.
Did they get that actor just in Atlanta for like an hour and they green-screened him in?
He went to Australia.
No, he didn't. He's
talked to Jimmy Kimmel about his trip to Australia.
He went to Australia just for that?
Yeah. Because he's really good friends with Chris Hemsworth. So his family like made a trip of it. So he brought his wife and kids. And like Chris Hemsworth's taken him to the beach. And you know, the story is going, we're scared of sharks and the snakes and the spiders and everything. He's like, you guys don't even worry about any of that. Like, that's not a thing here. And then Damon's, like, five-year-old daughter runs up to them after they're at the beach for 5 minutes screaming. And she had a, like, five-foot-long jellyfish wrapped around her legs. And
okay. So
they went on the plane and never came back to Australia.
Don't hate me. Don't hate me for saying this, but I'm getting concerned that this actor, who I typically enjoy in most of his work, he's starting to do this cameo thing multiple times, and I'm wondering if it's not a good look for his brand.
I'm just going to say this. Scotty doesn't know when to stop.
Oh.
Enough already.
Okay.
What?
It would have been better if Thor were played by Ben Affleck in that case. That would have been a joke.
Or
that
Jimmy
been,
Kimmel.
What's that? Or Jimmy Kimmel.
Kimmel. Yeah.
Kimmel would have been great.
Well, Kimmel as Odin would have been great.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
that's true. No, Sam Neill, he did it perfectly.
Sam
Neill's
very
actually
accessible.
Like a stage performer, so it was perfect seeing him up there, performing again.
But I was surprised when I saw Loki. I was just like, "Whoa! I can't believe it was never spoiled for me, or I had no idea that was coming."
I can't believe how bad his face looked.
I was
Tom Hiddleston such a skinny faced guy. And
it was
this
like,
guy,
dude,
whoever
craft
he is,
services. And he might be here just for that.
Yeah, his face looks so fat.
Yeah,
this guy's best friends with Ben Affleck.
He's still recovering from his downsizing role, maybe.
Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck. So we're just over an hour here, or just about. Did we?
Was he in The Martian?
Who?
Casey,
this actor
was on The Martian.
This actor we're not revealing. Was he in The Martian?
Well, you said his name. You didn't realize, but that's okay.
I said Matt Damon.
No, that's not who it was, though.
Mm-mm.
Oh, good.
It was Casey Affleck.
I didn't say Matt Damon. I wouldn't want to say the name of that.
Matt Damon.
It was the
Damon.
Third Affleck brother.
Okay.
It's the older Affleck.
Damon.
Matt Damon has a cameo in Finding Forrester with Sean Connery at the very, very end. He does this again in Interstellar, and he's done it again in Thor Ragnarok, and like it's not cute anymore. I'm concerned.
No, it's
bad.
It's very scary. It's the Interstellar moment, I still remember being in the theater, and like before it even opened, being like, I don't know how, but I know it's gonna be Matt Damon.
You could just feel it. He's just got that short, stocky kind of build, you know, in the spacesuit.
Making him play Loki is kind of mean, man. That's just. There's such different body types, like it's.
Well, that was part of the
humor. Just points out how fat he is. Although, did you guys see when Hemsworth came to Jimmy Kimmel, they had Taika and Mark Ruffalo in the background, or in the green room, and then Damon comes up, and like when I saw that video, I was just like, oh, that's fun. Like Damon just loves hanging out with Kimmel. I didn't realize that there could be some reason for Damon being there.
there was actually a reason.
Matt Damon.
No, it all makes sense.
All right, any other concerns or criticisms since we're kind of talking about that sort of right now? Every time we start talking about criticisms, by the way, we very quickly transition into positive. It just turns into compliments, but that speaks to how good this movie was.
Really, I think it's deserved. I mean, you could focus on all the tropes that are boring and tired, but it's like, what's the point? I mean, let's just focus on the positive because this is a good Marvel movie.
I will say that like the formula of these Marvel movies is predictable. I don't know that this broke the like plot formula. Like, I don't think it really broke from that path. It was still very much like that. The good thing is Taika played within that framework and made it great. But like, it's a formula that's fine. It's predictable. It is what it is. I mean, I can't expect that they're going to just do some crazy change up to the way these are plotted. It'd be nice. It'd be refreshing, but that's not what's going to happen in these Marvel movies. And so, if anything, the plot itself, like just the bare bones, what this story was about, pretty pedestrian. But you know, that's it is what we've come to expect.
I agree. And can I just say before we go, my MVP is actually Hulk, not Mark Ruffalo.
I was gonna say not. Okay, so not Mark Ruffalo, the actual Hulk.
Not not Bruce Banner, literally Hulk.
Who? Pop quiz. Who did the voice of Hulk?
I thought it was Mark Ruffalo.
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton. Okay. Eric Bana, the best.
No,
Hulk.
But seriously, who do we even know? I actually don't know the answer to that question.
No, I think it's Ruffalo.
It was Ruffalo. Ruffalo did the motion capture.
Yeah, they just.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they so just they just distorted his voice, and I see.
Yeah. That sounds like it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Ruffalo really enjoyed this version of the Hulk. He's talked a lot about how this was his favorite movie he's done with the Hulk.
Because he's on screen so little?
Very underutilized.
Yeah.
Plus, it is interesting, the idea that, they're all there filming the second Avengers movie, and they're like, oh, man, did you guys get the script for Civil War? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be so much fun to shoot. And then, Hemsworth and Ruffalo are just back there did not get that script. So it kind of created, this underdog identity for these two, that they, now get to have their own movie, and, this is better than Civil War. So
one of the bigger laughs in my theater is when Hulk or when Bruce Banner jumps out of the plane and lands on the Rainbow Road.
Okay.
David hated that scene, but I loved it.
It got huge laughs in both my screenings as well, and I really dislike that scene. I really do.
I chuckled, I'll be honest.
I would have chuckled if it were the first time really they made that joke.
You're really overstating that they made that joke. You said the first time it was that's the ninth time they made that joke. It's the third time.
So the second time I watched it, I actually counted. There's six times they do this joke where a hero is about to have his moment. And in two of the situations, they literally say the exact same line. And surprise, they fall flat on their face in some way. It's a funny device. I actually think it's really good slapstick. It's just not good when it's done four, five, six times. It becomes know what's going to happen here. Some people like to laugh at the same joke. I'm not going to judge them.
It wasn't done six times.
I mean, that's how well it worked on you, it seems. Honestly, if I could have picked one of them to have stayed in the movie, it would have been the Banner one. It was the funniest of the bit. The middle one, I guess it would have been number four or five, they didn't need to keep doing it.
I think him mistiming Mjolnir coming was just such a great way to set up what the movie was going to be. I thought that was great.
It was fine, but again, if you're going to use that joke once, I wouldn't have used it there. I would have used it on Banner. But
so yeah, when we get Taika on the pod, you can grill him on that one.
When we get who?
Taika.
We are going to get Taika.
Y-T-T.
Yeah.
We already got David Lowery, who's going to direct a Star Wars movie sooner or later, and Taika.
Yeah, he's coming back on the pod, right?
We're going to get Taika on the pod.
I introduced David Lowery to Taika.
Hmm.
He hadn't seen Hunt for the Wilder People, and now he's a fan. So,
did he? Nice. Oh wow! Did he watch it?
Yeah.
You're telling me that David Lowery, the director of A Ghost Story and Pete's Dragon, watched Hunt for the Wilder People because you recommended it?
Yeah.
And he responded to you after he watched it, saying he liked it?
Yes, he tells me about. He watches three movies every day. Although that's slowed down the last couple of weeks because now he's back on.
How often are you communicating with him?
Yeah, really.
It's not very much last couple weeks when he's been back on reshoots. Before that, we were messaging a couple times a day.
Is he done shooting his Robert Redford movie? Is that what he's doing?
So he just got back from Ohio where they're doing reshoots. A couple weeks of reshoots. But now they're back in editing, so he's back in the Bay.
We got to get him on video next time.
Yeah.
Now, so when you say messaging, do you mean text messaging or Facebook messaging?
Or email?
Messaging.
WhatsApp.
Phone.
WhatsApp?
He only WhatsApps.
Snapping. He's Snapchatting you. I have a feeling when Skylar gets a new message from, a new text from David Lowery, it's when you start dating a new girl and she texts you and you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. I have a feeling that's
And you
the
don't
same.
Want to respond too soon because you don't want to come across desperate.
I'll say this. I definitely look at my phone and reread texts and rewrite them. And then sometimes just delete them. And I'm I don't want to respond. I don't want to look desperate. I'm going to wait an hour before I respond.
And then you see his bubble up that he's typing and you're I'm going to wait. What's he going to say?
He took 10 hours to reply. I should probably take at least 5 hours, just a little. I don't need to wait 15 hours for his reply and then immediately reply in 3 seconds.
Very smart.
That's good. You got to play it cool. You got to act like you have a lot of celebrity friends.
Yeah, I'm always telling them, hey, yeah, I was just hanging with Kevin Spacey this weekend.
And Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer,
Yeah, have you heard about
David Stauffer? Both directed short films.
His his star rating on IMDb is marginally worse than mine. Like, he's pretty cool.
Hey,
what about mine?
According to IMDb, I'm slightly less famous than you. But IMDb, my biggest credit is directing a documentary.
I feel like there's a place in this world where if I just started a website where I rank every single celebrity from one to, like, however many I deem, like, the 1,000 most famous people, and then I, like, just move them up and down like a slider based on, okay,
Britney Spears. It's like the stock market, like, where you can't totally explain the algorithm or why it goes up.
No. So, like, yeah, Britney Spears is attacked on stage. I move her up 5 spaces because she's been on TMZ.
So what in that ranking, where's Kevin Spacey right now?
Oh, Kevin Spacey's, like, 18th most famous person in the world, like, famous celebrity right now.
Because he's getting a lot of news mentions, if that's part of your algorithm.
Like, Kim Kardashian's down. Her stock's down. It's all about Spacey. It's all about, oh, dude. What's the director who everyone was like, oh, no, James Toback. Yeah, Toback made it in the top 2,000 in the last
Toback finally broke the top 2,000.
Toback's in.
Toback sucks, but have you seen his Mike Tyson documentary?
No.
I know we're getting off topic here. But his Mike Tyson documentary. This is right on
topic. It's his topic.
It's killer. His documentary with Mike Tyson is fantastic.
Which one? What's it called?
I don't know what it's called.
It was called Daffy Duck and Mike Tyson.
Oh, my gosh.
That impression sounds better in my head.
You have a tight 5 minutes on Mike Tyson.
What's the deal with Mike Tyson?
What's the deal?
Is he a boxer or is he a biter? Do you guys see that? Yeah. Did you guys watch the news lately? Mike Tyson. Yeah, bit of guy's ear.
Well, kind of funny. I'm glad we did come full circle with Kevin Spacey in talking about his ranking, because we did start this podcast with talking about that news. We should wrap up. Any other thoughts on Ragnarok, Taika Waititi? If not, give your plea to people listening and taking a look to, you know, about whether they should see this film in theaters or wait for it to come out in digital.
I would say see this in theaters. Go watch Hunt for the Wilder People on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Just type in Taika. It'll be the first thing that comes up. If you enjoy that, go watch What We Do in the Shadows. If you enjoy that, go watch some Flight of the Conchords. He directed and wrote a bunch of those episodes. Sure, if you like that, go see Boy. If you like that. I mean, just keep finding more and more about it. Because Taika is one of my favorite directors working right now. If he had a bigger portfolio of movies, I feel like I could argue for him being the best working director. But this is just his fifth feature.
What would you like to see him do next?
I would love to see... Well, so... He's got a couple projects coming out. He's going to be doing a Nazi comedy.
Oh, jeez.
Which he is actually half Jewish, so he's allowed to. But yeah, he's going to do a comedy based on the Nazis. So that should be really interesting to see, like, his take on it.
Is it based on the Larry David monologue from SNL?
Yeah, it's a dating... It's a rom-com inside of Auschwitz.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. It's Aaron, what would you like to see Taika do next?
No, but after that movie comes out, he's also working on some stop motion projects. I'm really excited.
Waste
about.
Of time, by the way. Waste of his skills.
Bubbles. Oh, he said
that
bubbles,
probably won't come
right?
out for 15 years.
He's making a stop motion movie about Michael Jackson's pet monkey. Like, we need Taika elsewhere.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. Don't even hate on it.
Oh, and I'll see it opening night.
He's got We Are Wolves, which is best when you see the title written down. It's a sequel
werewolves.
To What We Do in the Shadows, yeah. Werewolves, coming out. They're starting to film that next year, so it's got a lot that's going on. Like, I mean, I would love for him to see him do a Pixar movie. I'd love to see him do a Fast and the Furious movie. I'd love to see him do a Star Wars story. Like, I just feel like he could take on pretty much every major franchise right now. I could see him doing a Mission Impossible movie. I just feel like you could give him a key to any franchise, and he'd make a very cool, unique movie.
Well, the world is his oyster after the success, both financially and critically, of Ragnarok.
Right, and so, like, I would love to see him keep making small movies, but I feel like he has the potential to work in a bunch of different franchises, or give him a $100 million original film, like a Looper type thing. Like, I feel like he could handle that.
Or Hancock.
Or Hancock, yes, give him Hancock.
Aaron, final thoughts.
Final thoughts is, I don't want to see him direct any more movies. I think he should devote all his time to Twitter, because he's a good follow.
He's a great follow.
So go follow Taika on Twitter. Even though I don't have a Twitter, I just I just peruse it.
Neither do I. So. Neither does Skylar.
I didn't realize that. All
right, that's it for our show. Appreciate people listening or paying attention, especially right now on Facebook Live. For those of you who don't know, we upload this audio into iTunes via the podcast. You can check it out, Brave Little Podcast. You can listen to it, you know, while you're at work, commute in the car, get the audio version of this. And those of you listening right now in your car, know that there is a video version. I publish it from my personal Facebook page, but it is set to public, so you don't have to actually friend me to watch it. You can just look me up on Facebook when we record. And I think that's it. As we say, hold on to your butts.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.